Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You get him in the spot sets, you get him hosting shows, and now you get him as a guest. Another good year for Westminster football. And no one loves Westminster like our next guest, Jason Mackey. Hello, Jason.
What's up, Jeff? Every year is a good year for Westminster football, by the way. I got to get you a Westminster hoodie. Or a polo or something, man. You're always representing colleges. I gotta take care of you.
Did I ever tell you the story that I was at their national title game in Westminster?
No.
Yeah. So
in
I was
the
in
the NAIA days.
Yes, I was in college. It was what, 88? Or I think it was Joe Makia was the quarterback, and he was from Sharon, which is right where I'm from. And a buddy of mine's like his uncle lived in New Wilmington, and he's like, hey, why don't you come home for the weekend? We'll go to the national title game. And CNN did this huge story about Westminster football and all the Amish that in the area, and did this really awesome story. And so we went to the game, snow's falling, and it's like a last second touchdown as Westminster won it, and people stormed the field. And I still in my garage somewhere have a pylon from that game, because we each grabbed a pylon and kind of ran off. But it was awesome. It was a cool environment for a game, and a lot of fun. And I know people want to hear that story.
I know, right? The coach for that team is a guy named Joe Fusco. He's a legendary coach at Westminster, and he was my announcing partner when I was in college.
Was
I did
he
games
really?
On TV. Yep. So I'd have coach with me. And RIP, he passed on, but Joe was just an awesome dude. And that picture is hanging in the field house. I would look at that picture quite often.
So that's really
cool. It's neat to know that you were at that game, Jeff.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was like, you're in Mercer County. It's like, how many times you get to see a natty in Mercer County?
Right.
Like, that's just not going to happen very often. Of the Pirates that were, let's start with the ones that are no longer on the roster, or at least have been designated for assignment. Canario, Holderman, Dari Moretta, Ronnie Simon, Cam Devaney's going to play overseas apparently, and good for him. Good luck.
Yep.
Of that group, I mean, they rolled the dice on Canario. It didn't work. Simon actually had some minor league stats that opened some eyes. And Colin, you know, man, that at first he was really good, and he just kind of fell off. Injuries, other things kind of happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, none of the four came as a surprise, Jeff. You know, and it's a shame for Colin, because I think it's in there. I think he has a lot of ability, and I know people listening to that will think I'm insane for believing in Colin Holderman. I don't think the Pirates can try it any longer. I think they need a change of scenery. What he's projected to make in arbitration, it's just not worth it. Canario, I don't see where his role would have been on this team. Same with Ronnie Simon. I mean, they need to be, I've used this analogy before, they need to be shopping in a different part of the store. And at least thus far, they kind of are. We'll see where they go if they land a bigger deal outfielder, but they can't be running out Ronnie Simon and Alexander Canario. I think Canario had a 611 OPS and he was the better of the two. Like, it just, you can't. So you're going to protect some young guys. They're taking some chances on some pitching. They're clinging tight to the few position player prospects they have. I don't blame them. I was a little surprised by Brannigan, but the pitchers all have a lot of potential.
That's what I was going to ask you. If any of these guys, I mean, Valdez, I mean, he's still only 21, and, you know, maybe that's a guy you want to hang around, but any of these pitchers kind of open your eyes?
Yeah, a lot of them do. I think what this says to me is that they have a lot of confidence in Bill Murphy, the new pitching coach, to take care of this. Because, you know, Bidois is the only one who's pitched in AAA. Kelly, Dotel, Samaniego, they've all topped out at AA, and not that they can't get higher than that, but I mean, you're giving them a precious spot by putting them on the 40. And so basically what you're saying there is your pitching coach, your pitching program is going to be able to get through to these guys and get them up into major league opportunities probably this year. And at minimum, you believe enough in them that you don't want to risk losing them. So, I mean, I think Bidois is going to help the big club this year. He probably should have helped the big club this past season, just a little cup of coffee. He had such a great year in the minors. But I like all four of the pitchers potential-wise, Jeff. I mean, you know, Dotel can run it up there pretty hard, picked up a cutter this year. Kelly's about triple-digit heat, got a really good changeup. Samaniego's a different look from the left side. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential there. Bidois picked up a change this year. He throws a kick change. It's like a splitter changeup sort of hybrid. But all these guys have kind of like added to their repertoire this past season. And they're in a pretty good place. There's velocity. There's stuff. What there isn't is just consistency. And so they're counting on the pitching program to help that out.
Well, and really, how can you fill out that middle relief and some of the, you know, if you will, lesser spots of the bullpen? Look at some of these younger guys. And yep. That being said, do you have a thought on closer for this coming year? Is he on the roster?
You know, I saw the passing thing that they're in that market. I mean, I'm fine with it being Dennis Santana. I don't see that as a major need. What I think they do need to do is build out the back end of the bullpen, and maybe they go a little bit more by committee than having like a capital C closer. I look at their bullpen right now, Jeff, and I see Dennis Santana is obviously going to pitch late innings. Isaac Mattson's going to pitch late innings. Carmen Majenski is going to pitch late innings, maybe multiple innings. I don't know, but I mean, he's a premium reliever piece for me. I'd like Kyle Nicholas to take the next step. What they need to do is get a lefty or two. And then if you're going to go out and spend some money, yeah, you want to build out your bullpen depth with a veteran or two. If one of those guys happens to be a closer and has that on his resume, cool. I just don't know if it lands. I mean, to me, the Pirates have to prioritize offense, and they know that. Like, it's not going to be Schwarber. It's not going to be Josh Naylor. I get it. But, like, they need to go out and spend some money on offense, get some bats in here. And if they can accomplish that while also building out the back end of their bullpen a little bit, I think that makes a lot of sense. So monitoring the reliever market, monitoring the closer market, it all makes sense to me. I just don't know, given their situation and what else they need to buy, if there's going to be a ton of money left over.
And I am, we're joined by the Post Gazette's Jason Mackey as we get into some hot stove talk. I am a Jared Jones as my closer guy. As he works his way back, I don't know what his restrictions are going to be or if he's going to be able to kind of start out and see where it goes, but could that be a role for him where he at least starts the season in one of those type of positions?
I think it could be an option for him, Jeff. I don't think they're going to toss him into closing right away, like coming off of Tommy John. I think Jared, and I'm projecting a little bit, I think Jared's going to want the chance to start. And I think Jared deserves the chance to start. You know, coming back from Tommy John, that's going to look a little different than a traditional starter. He's not going to be just, you know, every 5 days go and give as much as you can. He's going to be on restrictions. So, I mean, you'd probably start him as a multi-inning guy, see where your bullpen goes. But, I mean, one day, could Jared Jones project into closing material? Absolutely. I mean, the guy's got the temperament for it. I know that's why you're saying it. But, I mean, he's got the stuff, velocity. If you just go four-seam or slider with him, I mean, that's kind of all he needs to get people out. And I would empty the tank, and I like the edge that he pitches with and all that. I mean, he's got closer, you know, makeup and all that. But I think you come back, you bring him back as kind of a multi-inning short starter kind of guy. You know, maybe the way they used Barco, the way they used Oviedo, even the way they used Burrows. and just kind of see where it goes from there.
We're going to get to what Passan had to say in a minute, but I just want to continue here. The one guy that really took a step because he was healthy is Braxton Ashcraft. He's a guy whose stuff has always been there. Is he a guy that you look at as a rotation? Like, where do you see his role this coming year?
Jeff, he's in my rotation, man. I think he's too valuable. If he's healthy, the way he throws the ball, the way that curveball, and he's got stuff. He's got a bunch of different pitches. He's got the right mentality. I've got a guy who I think can start, so I'm going to give him a chance to start. I think he's better as a starter than he was as a reliever, although he's pretty darn good as a reliever. I'm going to try to go into next season because, I do look at where they're at, and a Mitch trade still does make sense to me. If somebody's attracted to Mitch, you know you need to add offense. I'm not trying to run Mitch Keller out of town. Believe me, I want Mitch to stay. I think the world of Mitch. But I'm just trying to look at attractive pitching option, and you need to get bats in here. And I'm still realistic about the Pirates payroll-wise. It probably lines up. So, if you trade Mitch, you're going to have Skeens, Bubba, Ashcraft, maybe Burrows, Oviedo, something like that. I wouldn't trade Mitch and put Ashcraft in a relief role. I think you're diluting what should be the strength of your team. And I think Ashcraft, like Skeens, Bubba, and Ashcraft to start the year can be your 1-2-3. In a very strong 1-2-3.
All right, so you said it right there in that statement of how you still are realistic in what the Pirates' payroll can be. What is realistic, and do you believe what Passan was saying, that the Pirates are going to be in on guys like Schwarber, and we're in on Naylor, and are going to swing at maybe one of those guys at that level?
I mean, in on versus sign, I think, are two different things. I think, are they going to monitor those? Are they going to try? Yes, I do. I don't expect them to land somebody like that. Just because, even like a Schwarber, a Naylor, even if you make an offer that's competitive with other offers, you still have a lot of convincing to do with guys who have other options about coming to Pittsburgh and winning. Guys that are that good, they're going to want a chance to win. And I don't think that the Pirates have enough, cachet with free agents to bring them in here quite yet. You'd like to think that they do. I think they would be comfortable spending the money. I don't think the money is the issue. I think it's getting those guys to agree to come here versus what their alternatives are. Like, if Philly is after Schwarber and makes him the same offer the Pirates do, where do you think Schwarber ends up? Josh Naylor didn't leave Seattle because he's got a great situation there. So, I think they probably maybe, I know people listening can't see this, but if you're up here with Naylor and Schwarber, you got to go down a little bit and find that middle tier of free agents and then overpay one of those guys to get them in here first and communicate and execute on a plan and then build from there. Like, you just can't go from 0 to 60 unless you can get a player that wants to come in here. That would be great. I'm not against it, and I don't think it would be a money issue. I just think you've got to kind of take some baby steps there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
can Paul Skeens calling a free agent impact what they might want to do? For instance, a Schwarber or an Alonso and say, listen, man, we could have something special. Let me tell you about this team. Like, does that stuff actually happen? Or would Paul be like, yeah, I'm not going to screw with somebody's free agency?
No, I mean, I think Paul believes in what they're doing here. I mean, that goes back to the idea that, like, he wants out and wants to go to the Yankees, which is a bunch of nonsense. You know, I mean, Paul believes in what they're doing. He should. You know, he believes in this young core being able to.
But he knows they need
bats. A winner to Pittsburgh, right? He knows they need bats. And I mean, you know, I don't think he would be against trying to offer some sort of recruiting pitch. I just think an opposing free agent, like, they're still going to look at Pittsburgh with some measure of hesitancy and until what the other plan is. I think it was 2 years ago, Jeff, Kansas City did something similar. It's when they made their jump. They were kind of bad, and then they got good all of a sudden. The first thing they did was add a couple relievers, and people could kind of see the outside picture coming together. You build out your bullpen. You've got a couple pieces. They drafted well and got some position players. The Pirates don't quite have that
going
bad. For them.
Yeah,
yeah. But if you have that, if opposing players can see that, they can come here and they can win, and they can see a plan around them, like, that's the biggest sales pitch they're going to get, not somebody calling them. But I mean, I understand what you're saying about Skeens, and I do think him calling them and saying, look, I believe in this. This organization's for real. Don't believe everything you read on social media or whatever. You know, come here and be a part of this. We want you to be a part of this with us. Like, I think it would carry some weight. I just think they have to do a little bit better job, you know, building out the infrastructure, or, you know, building the foundation of the house first before somebody is, you know, standing out front trying to sell people on it.
And it's obviously why fans get excited, because you're waiting for one guy. You're waiting for somebody like that. You're waiting for, you know, one of the guys for me, and I know it's a fairy tale most likely, like Pete Alonso. You could overpay him, convince him the attitude that he brings in that room, I think, is worth not as much as the bat, but it's worth something. I think AJ, who came in a trade, not as a free agent, for everybody to realize, brought an attitude. And it almost seems like that room needs an attitude of a guy who's won or is so hungry to win. I would love to see somebody like that. And yeah. I hope they don't end up and he's a great guy, in the Josh Bells of the free agent, you know, situation.
No, Jeff, and you're hitting the nail on the head, man. I've had that conversation with people in the Pirates front office and said to them, like, you guys need somebody with, you know, a certain amount, like a position player too, not just a pitcher, like a position player to sort of even out the leadership that Skeens brings, and somebody to get that group on the same page and getting them bought in, and somebody who's been there before and can kind of have a commanding presence and change a little bit of the culture. And I mean, they're aware. They need that guy. I don't think it's going to be Pete Alonso, but, like, they need that guy. I think maybe Tommy Pham was supposed to be some version of that, but they need to go way higher than Tommy Pham. I mean, ability-wise, I mean, contract-wise, I mean, length of contract-wise, like, it has to be way more serious than that. And I hope and think it will be, but they're well aware that that is a key piece for them this offseason, is to not only add a productive player, but add a productive player who's going to have an impact over how they do things, and to kind of put a foot down and say, this is how we do things here. This is the way the Pirates operate. I've been on winning clubs before. I've been to the postseason. This is what it's going to take to get there in terms of habits and day-to-day stuff. And those guys are out there. For the same reason we're talking about, I have a tough time believing it'll be Pete Alonso. I hope I'm wrong. It would be great. But I think there are other guys you can get who would sort of scratch that itch for them.
So you have a guy internally. I mentioned Witt. Witt played at a young age and excelled. Connor Griffin. Are we rushing the guy to think that he could play in the majors? If not right out of spring training, early in the 2026 season?
I have two opinions on this, Jeff. Number one, I think it's the best money the Pirates could spend this offseason. If they go and extend Connor Griffin and send a message to their fans saying, like, no, we're the Pirates. We're never going to be the darlings of free agency. That's okay. And I don't think their fans expect that. But I think they expect you draft a guy and you make a couple, you know, key commitments here. And Connor Griffin is a guy that you bet on. you know, and they didn't do that with Paul Skeens. And okay, maybe they could, maybe they couldn't. You don't see those deals all the time for pitchers because of the risk of arm injuries. But Connor Griffin is the ideal person there. You have a position player who is probably just a little bit away, but it might be able to, you can have that conversation with him and say, hey man, sign this. We'll get you on the big league roster to start opening day. You're a shortstop. You're a guy. Forget all these contract restrictions. Forget everything. Come be our guy. And so that's one piece of it that I think it would be money well spent. They can get, you know, if Connor Griffin winds up being a $30 million a year player and they sign him for 10 now, like that's a great gamble. The Pirates are all of a sudden spending money very efficiently. The second part of it is I'm going to let Connor Griffin tell me when he's ready. And that's what I thought they were going to do. They've hinted at that. Passan confirmed it. Like when you get to spring training, if Connor Griffin is your best option at shortstop, Connor Griffin should be your shortstop. Plain as day. Like the Pirates have to orient everything toward winning in 2026. I don't care about roster rules. I don't care about Super 2. I don't care about any of that. Get the best player at shortstop on opening day. No, if Connor has a bad spring and that's not Connor, that's okay. If he has to go to AAA for a little while and develop more, that's not a loss. I mean, he's still a teenager, for crying out loud, but I would give him a chance, and I think they are.
Yeah, he's not built like a teenager, though. That's
no, he's
thing
not.
About
he doesn't act
dude.
Like one either, man. I no. wasn't that mature as a teenager. I doubt you were either.
I'm still not. I still giggle
at middle
school
jokes. That's
why he's
going to make a lot more money than us, Jeff.
Yeah, right? You know, there's another guy internally that can be a superstar. He's shown signs of it. I had somebody in the organization tell me once, notice that since Carlos Santana left, that O'Neill Cruz isn't the same guy. Because they felt like he brought this leadership. I'm not saying that they need to go all out and get Santana and bring him back necessarily, but how do you unlock O'Neill Cruz? Like, how do you get him to improve? I don't think the guy's lazy, but there's just something that's not clicking, and now you start to wonder, will it ever click?
Yeah. I mean, Carlos Santana challenged O'Neill Cruz in a way that he was never challenged in Pittsburgh before, and it was good for him. And that's a lot of off the field stuff and just being in his ear and teaching him how to be a pro. And, you know, it's like parenting, man. I mean, we have kids, like people listening, you have kids, you understand, like sometimes you might come off as a jerk to your kids, but you're doing the best thing for them. You're setting a standard of expectations. And Carlos Santana did that for O'Neill Cruz. The Pirates absolutely have to get through to O'Neill Cruz this offseason. They know that too. I mean, I've used this analogy before, but if you think of the Pirates like dials, you know, you can't turn any one any more than you can turn O'Neill Cruz. Like he was half a war player and he could be a five war player in 2026 if you do this right. Like you're not going to sign that player via free agency. The best thing they can do is get through to him. And, you know, to me that involves getting a veteran who is probably some version of Latin American. If you get a guy from the Dominican, like that might help. Maybe somebody Cruz knows, you know, somebody that is not going to tell him all the time what he wants to hear or let him off easy, challenge him the way that Santana did. So, you know, you can build some of that on the coaching staff, but I think some of it just needs to be peer-to-peer stuff. I think you need to have an older player the way Santana did, just sort of looking after him and say, look, dude, I'm not trying to jack you up because I dislike you. I'm trying to jack you up because I believe in you. And there's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Potential or ceiling or, you know, areas to gain with O'Neill. Like he can just be so darn good.
He could be a superstar.
He could be a superstar and stuff has lapsed with him and that it can't happen like that anymore.
All right. Last one. And I appreciate all your time, Jason. There's so much to talk about with
man.
The Pirates. And I know you've got to be, let me say too, because I know you've got to kind of be excited about the winter meetings because there is a little bit of a different feel, a little bit more urgency. And obviously we don't know what's going to happen in 2027, it seems it's going to be fascinating for you down there.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I'll be going down to Orlando. Colin Beasley and I will be doing it. I've missed, I don't know, one or two with the columnist thing. It's a fun time, man. I try to explain to people what winter meetings are, and it's hard. Like it's certainly nothing to complain about, but like you don't sleep much. You spend a lot of time wandering around weird places and bumping into conversations.
Well,
it's. Yeah, I know, right? It doesn't quite sound like work, but it is, I swear, I think most of the time. But yeah, I mean, if the Pirates are doing what, you know, we're sort of talking about and expecting them to do and what I think they know they need to do, like hopefully it's an eventful winter meetings. I've covered a lot of winter meetings where the Pirates go down there, they do nothing. Ben Cherington talks a couple times. It's all theoretical and we go home and you're like, why did we just do this? What in the world? But, you know, I hope it's not like that. I hope the Pirates put themselves in a different position. I mean, right now, this offseason, man, whether it's the winter meetings or whether it's after them, whether it's in January, it has to be just gigantic for this franchise. Like, you can't be modest with Paul Skeens and the labor stuff coming up and all that. And, you know, they're behind schedule as it is. Like, they have to be aggressive and they have to make some key moves. They've got a lot of needs. So if they're going to get people to take them seriously and recognize the intent that they insist happens internally, then they have to show it to the baseball world in Orlando.
When I look at the Pirates and we do the Mount Rushmore thing, Andrew McCutchen's on my Mount Rushmore of Pirates because of the impact he's had on the organization. That being said, I don't want him back next year. It's no disrespect to his abilities. It's just it's time. What are your feelings on whether or not he will return or the Pirates will offer him a contract?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sticky one right now, man. I mean, I know that I made some waves with Kutch himself by saying I didn't think he would be back. You know, and at the time, that was sort of the smell of what I was getting around the organization. And that's a lot of, I think, what we're seeing born out of Passan's report today and the way the Pirates think that they need to handle themselves. I think there's another component of this, too, though. And this is I will get to an actual answer here. I think they need to be aware of Andrew McCutchen's legacy, too. I think they just can't flat out discard him and say, you know what, man, we're done with you. Like, I think what you need to do is probably have a conversation with him and say, hey, Andrew, this needs to be it. You know, we want this to end appropriately. We want you to end as a part-time DH. We want this to be it. We can say publicly, like, this is it for you. And you know, this is the last one. If we do this, it's, you know, 1 year, $3 million, part-time DH, whatever the role is. I think you make every effort to do it. If he's not willing to accept the part-time DH role, then I move on because they do have to get better offensively. They do have to get a hitter who is more productive or more of a sure thing than he is at this point. And if that irritates people, then so be it. I think a lot of people, Jeff, are in your camp that, like, you'd rather have the Pirates win than do some sort of nostalgia tour with Andrew McCutchen. I hope you can do both. I don't want to see this end poorly with Kutch. I don't want to see, you know, acrimony with the most popular player since Barry Bonds for this team. But I just, you know, I do recognize the need that they need to get some more bats in here. And, you know, that needs to be the priority. And they can't allocate that much playing time to Kutch. So if he's looking for 500 bats somewhere, it's not coming in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I don't think, even if it goes poorly this year and they don't re-sign and he goes somewhere else, I mean, it was 3 years of standing ovations nearly every time he got up to the plate. I mean, there was an opportunity for Pirate fans to thank him every game, and they did. I mean, the applause was better for for Kutch than anybody else every game, and it was awesome. But I want a DH that can also play in the field or do some other thing. Like, it's not that he was bad. He just played too much for what he offered, and that's kind of those are my words.
Yeah, and I mean, No. I mean, I agree with you. I think you need some flexibility in that spot. I mean, I look at it this way, Jeff. Everything that the Pirates do this offseason should be oriented toward fixing the offense. The offense was atrocious. Right now, they have what is probably going to be a top five pitching staff. And if you can get your offense into like 17th, 18th, 19th, like that sort of, they could be looking at a competitive team. But yet you have a long way to go to get there. And so that requires, you know, if it's a Josh Naylor and DHing him, whatever. I mean, Spencer Horwitz, let's not forget, was one of their best bats last season. So you have to keep him in the lineup. If Joey Bart is playing against left-handed pitching, I don't know what that means for Henry Davis. There's kind of a trickle down. You might have to play Joey Bart at DH sometimes if Henry Davis is catching to get his bat in the lineup against a lefty. I don't know. It's just I don't see any room on this team for Andrew McCutchen as a regular DH. If he's going to be a part-time DH, and again, you're just kind of like keeping him there because he's Andrew McCutchen, I get that. But I just, it has to, this offseason has to be about adding more offense. It just does. And if you take care of the rest and you can find $3 million, cool. I think Bob Nutting would be totally fine with that. If you can go, you know, get some other pieces and Andrew McCutchen is just not one of your primary drivers. Like, there's nothing wrong with Andrew McCutchen. he's a perfectly acceptable 7 or 8 hitter. It's just what they've been giving him the past couple of years, like, you know, 5 million regular at bats, hitting 4th or 5th in the lineup. Like, you need to fix the offense around him. It's not necessarily his fault. It's just, you know, that's going to require some money, and they might be out of it by the time they get to Kutch.
Jason, thank you so much. I know you've got someone you got to tuck in wearing a Jeremiah Smith jersey. So
I already tucked him in, man.
So
your seven-year-old Ohio State protege is in bed. So
Jason, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Jason Mackey from the Post Gazette. Check him out on our airwaves. You can check him out, obviously, at postgazette.com, and he will be at the winter meetings reporting from there as well. It should be an interesting time. It's your opportunity now next at 412-928-9370 to react to what Jason had to say and what the Passan report is. Do you believe that they're in on a guy like Schwarber? I mean, Schwarber's numbers are insane. You bring him here, he's an immediate hero before he steps up to bat. But it's those type of game changer, like go after one. If you don't fill out the rest, that's fine. I know the Pirates aren't going to get 2, 3, 4 big free agents, but how about one? Like, is that really out of the price range? And Connor Griffin, like, his age should not be the restriction. If he comes into spring training and he performs, he should be your opening day shortstop. Forget the age. Forget the experience. Like, oh, we're going to break him. No, you're not. Not this kid. Don't mess with him. Let him do what he's doing. And if he's ready for the majors, don't have some kind of false restriction because, well, we just don't do that. This is the year you got to do that. You've got your pitcher. You got to add some pieces. He's really, really cheap. And he's got upside that is making people all around Major League Baseball wonder if the Pirates have two of the best young players in the game. Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Your calls on the Buccos, 412-928-9370, top of the hour. We're going to go to Chicago and find out more about what the Bears are saying about this matchup coming up on Sunday. It is Tuesday night, Fan Evening Show on 93.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.